This is Kurt.
This is Jason.
This is Tracy.
And we are the MFG Cast.
And we are very serious.
That's a serious one.
Serious dude.
Wow.
You're giving me like angry face.
I'm Jason.
The Dark Knight
me,
Rises.
Jason. MFG him Kurt. Cast. Tracy.
Wow. Now you're the Hulk, apparently.
Smash?
Smash. Hulk smash. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the MFG Cast. We're going to be talking about, trying to think, what did I say that we were going to call this one?
What board gaming means to us.
Yeah, there you go. I like that.
Yeah.
I think we've actually, the funny thing is, I feel like we've done this a couple of times in the past, but I like it because it's kind of this will be an updated version.
Like a revisit.
Because the MFG Cast has been going on for it's almost going to be our 14th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
14 gosh darn years.
You guys been doing this a while.
Yeah, we're old as
F. You guys are board gaming veterans.
Yes, that's
Thank
right.
Thank you for your service.
You're so welcome.
I don't even know if I can really call myself the novice anymore.
No.
I still feel very novice in your presence, but...
No, I would say your board game collection and your know-how nowadays would bring you out of that novice.
I'm a middle ground gamer.
Middle ground gamer. Nice.
I've even done some of the stuff that other people haven't with all the different board games, but having done some D&D and some different role-playing games, I've actually done some stuff now. It feels weird. I'm a real boy.
Yeah. So
You grows up.
So I'm going to ask you some questions because, I feel like this is what this is going to be about. So, when it came to us, asking you to come and board game and stuff like that, was it weird? Did it feel like cool? Did it feel like, were you like, why are they even asking me?
No, I think it's really cool. I really appreciate it. It like was very touching. I think maybe a little backstory on that, how I met you guys, how we got into that. I don't know if we've maybe talked about that before. So our friend Mike that always plays with us, I think he's recorded before in the past. I used to own a siding company. I did siding on his house. And while I was there, he was talking about the games, and this was many years ago. Mm-hmm. He was talking about having a bunch of games in his basement and like video games with board games and all of that. And I was like, oh man, that's really cool. Like that sounds awesome. Like I enjoy doing a little bit of that, but I don't really have anybody to do it with. And then obviously he referred me to you guys to work on your house. So then there was talk about that. And then we got to be friends as well while we were doing that. And then Kurt, I don't even know if you know, but Tracy would message me and be like, so those two knuckleheads while we were playing tonight just kept talking about whether they should invite you to play or not. And I was like, well, tell them that I would come over. But I also knew that it was like your thing. And I never want to horn in on somebody's thing and invite myself. And like, I know that when you've got your weekly thing with your friends, you want to do things a certain way. And maybe I wasn't a part of that and you had it the way you wanted it. But Tracy and I were having side conversations. She's like, yeah, game night tonight. Kurt and Mike just had a full conversation about whether you would actually come and play or not, or if they should invite you, and that they didn't want to invite you, make you feel like you had to come, or invite you and have you like think it was stupid or whatever. And I just kept being like, I would love to come play. Like, I think that would be really cool. So then when you guys did finally invite me, I was like,
it was like a love connection.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is really cool. So it was, it was
I'm
very
Chuck
awesome.
Woolery.
Yes.
And this is love.
Well,
we'll be back in 2 and 2. And now I'm sitting at home eating Campbell's like chicken noodle soup out of the can with a cold, and I'm 9 years old again. We'll be back in 2 and 2. I think she should have chose Mark. So I was very excited when you guys invited me to play because I like to
goose.
Goose has got the puppy's got things to say. No, it was a good time in my life for me where like having something to do weekly, something that was fun. It's something I've always been interested in. So I think the timing was really good. But no, I was very excited. I was stoked. Like I'd been hoping you guys would invite me for quite a while. Like as soon as I knew you guys did that. Plus before even when Mike first brought it up, when I was working at his house like a decade or more ago, it was like, if you ever need somebody else, let me know.
Yeah.
Please.
Well, and then I think somehow you and I were, we made a connection with somebody else prior to that. And I was like, oh yeah, look at what we did with our basement.
Oh yeah.
I think I showed you a picture too.
Right.
Or some pictures because we had our basement.
Right.
Remodeled in
which
our
ends
old
up
house.
Happening. It happened a lot with a lot of my customers where I would get to know them while I was at their house. Like I'm obviously a talker, so I would get to know some of them. And then because I'm in remodeling, when they would do other remodeling, I would get pictures of it. Or people would be like, hey, we also did this. Do you want to see it? What do you think? So it was along those lines where you're showing me, because I'm a remodeler, you were showing me pictures of your basement remodel and then all of your games and your setup. And I'm like, man, that's cool. Like,
yeah.
Totally come play games with you
guys. I think
it
kind of just went full circle.
Yeah.
No, I was stoked. I'm still stoked. I'm very excited that you guys invited me and now keep inviting me back. It's a good feeling. Nice. I enjoy being a part of it.
I suppose.
Yeah. I hope I get to come back again.
So were you shocked by the mere, like, holy shit, everybody's got a fucking ton of games here?
Oh,
that
yeah.
kind of thing?
Yeah, like, I knew you guys had a lot of games, and obviously, like, you would show me some of it. But once I, like, actually sat down and I was there to play games and, like, look around. So now when my friends, because we've obviously been doing this for a while and everything, and when my friends are, like, when I bring up board game night and, like, the people I work with know Wednesday night is game night. And, like, when people ask me to do things, they know, like, hey, if there's a chance to do it another night, we should pick something other than Wednesday because Wednesday night is game night.
Yeah.
So when I first said it, like, they'd be like, oh, your friends that you go play games with or whatever. And I'm like, you guys don't understand. Like, it's not just like, oh, yeah, we got a couple games. Because people will be like, oh, so what do you guys play? Like, Pandemic and Catan. And it's like, yes, there's some of that. But I cannot explain to you how many games these people have. Like, I would be like, these guys are straight up board gaming nerds. In the best, as a nerd of a whole bunch of other things myself, like, I was like, these people are straight up board gaming nerds. They have hundreds of games. I'm like, they do a board gaming podcast. Now I'm a board gaming nerd also, and I do a podcast. But no, I was like, there are so many things. And as we're sitting there, I'm like looking around and, you know, when you grow up and like live life not playing games, to see the variety. And that's something we've talked about. Like, you know, we're talking about the different kinds of games that are out there and the tabletop and the card and the collecting and the whatever. There's all the different versions. To me in the past, it was like you just had games.
Yeah.
And now, once I got down in there and I was in that basement and like looking at the shelves of games and it's like, holy shit. Like, I didn't realize. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, that's like when Hunter was over and he's like,
Yeah, one of his comments was like, you guys are like a board game store.
Yeah, and then you guys had to be like, well, we just moved and we got rid of a significant chunk of our
like
game.
75 to 100.
Yeah,
he was kind of blown away, which, yeah, I totally understand, because walking down into that the first time, it was just like, I know one of my first thoughts were, how do you have this many? Because you can't, it would take years to play these. And that is a conversation that we've had as we've gone through and rotated, where when I first started, it was just like we would be playing the game and, well, what should we play next week? Or, you know, you being the person that lived there would pick the game, or Mike would just show up with a game or whatever, where now we rotate through, each person picks, you know, the next week's game, and we kind of plan it out ahead of time, so we watch videos or we work together and be like, hey, we played this game this week and now there's an expansion and then there's another expansion and then there's another, you know. But it was just kind of like, holy shit, who, like, how do you have this many games? Because you can't play them all.
Yeah.
Which, like, I wasn't looking at it as in like not a derogatory thing, just like holy shit.
How do you actually do it? At least I know I get that question all the time. Like, how do you have 400 plus games if you know you may never play these even more than once? And the answer is you never know.
Right.
Because, like, we've even had, last summer we had a board game day where we invited a bunch of our friends and we did a bunch of games. And, again, it was a con.
A game con,
where deodorant was mandatory.
That's right. That's right.
And delicious food and friends.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, and I think, you know, looking at it like that, where you're getting people that are asking you that, like I said, I'm still fairly new, relatively new to this part of life and like the gaming stuff, but I've been involved in a lot of other things. You know, I grew up like hunting and into the outdoors and everything. And I know like when I used to do a lot of turkey hunting, and I would do some like minimal guiding and help with seminars and things like that. And every turkey hunter has their turkey hunting vest, and they've got their diaphragm calls and their slate calls and their box calls. And you've got all kinds of different strikers for you. Like, you've got all these different things, and somebody that doesn't turkey hunt might look at that vest and go, well, why do you need that? Mm-hmm. You just need to be in the right spot and make the right sound. But a turkey hunter is going, well, yeah, but I don't know. Like, this one's my favorite for this situation, mm-hmm. and this is my favorite for this situation. And I bought this because it looked cool, and I don't know if I'm ever going to need to use it, but it looks cool, so I want it. And it's kind of the same thing, I feel like, with mm-hmm. the games is – I don't maybe need it, but like none of us need anything. We can all get by with if we're a gaming family, quote unquote, you can get by with a set of dice and a set of cards.
Yeah.
Like, don't need anything, but we want it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there's a chance we might get enjoyment from this thing. So I think looking for me as an outsider, looking at you guys as a family and your stacks of games, every one of those that I see that still got the wrapper on it, that is something that you clearly either got joy by being gifted that or got joy by purchasing that, knowing that that is future fun. Yeah. So every one of those games that's still wrapped up is future fun. Everyone that's unwrapped is like past fun and still has potential fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like that's, if you got 400 games, that's a minimum of 400 days of fun.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even the thing of like, let's say, I'm not outdoorsy. I don't like going outside, blah, 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 that kind of thing. This, like, if I buy a game, okay, regardless of how much it costs. So I'm just going to throw out a number out there, $60. A lot of people are going to be like, $60 for a board game. That's a lot of fucking money. It is. But if you think about it, if I have that game and I have that game for, let's just throw out a random number, 10 years. I've only paid $6 a year for that game.
Right.
You're getting a lot out of that. It would cost you less to go out to get a cup of coffee these days.
Well, and if you play that, if it is one of those games that you play multiple times a year, you know, if you buy that $60 board game and you play it three times that first year, you're playing $20 per play.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pay $20 for a few hours of fun on a lot of things, whether it's going to a baseball game,
$20 to go to a movie,
right, or running and grabbing some beers with a friend at the bar. You know, like each time it gets down. Granted, you got to take into account 400 games at dollar amounts and divide it all out.
Cost $60.
Yeah. We also got a lot of them
some
gifted.
Some of them cost $160.
We also have gotten some review copies too. So a lot of these we didn't even pay for.
And some of them are gifts.
Yeah.
But hobbies, I mean, we all, like, my son is 21 and is out working, and sometimes he will, like, He's very good with his money, much better than I was at that. I'm so proud of him with the way that he is, and a lot of things, but especially with his money.
Okay, stop crying, Jason.
I'm a crier, leave me alone. But he's got something that I didn't have when I was that age. I was just excited to have enough money to be able to go out with my friends that weekend, where he is saving up his money and being smart with it. And that's not saying that he isn't going and doing some fun things, mm-hmm. and probably some irresponsible things like every 21-year-old.
And
whatever, but every once in a while he'll tell me about a purchase he made. Like, he likes to play online games, and he went and bought a very cool, I don't even know how to describe it, PC and all the stuff that goes with it. And he spent some money on it.
Yeah, like an actual gaming PC.
It's like a top of the line thing. And he was like a little shy about telling me. I'm like, how much was this? I'm like, none of my business, but just wondering. And he's like, well, it was a bunch. And he said, and he was kind of like, maybe I shouldn't have spent this. But I was like, no. Like, we work in our life to be able to have some fun, to have things. Like, you shouldn't feel bad spending the money that you work for on the things that make you happy. And that's the way I look at that, you know, kind of along with what I was already saying about your board games. Is like, every single one of those is a piece of joy. And if that's what you guys want to spend your money on, spend your fucking money on it.
Yeah.
And get every ounce of joy. Never feel bad about that.
Well, like, and I think that's why we
should enjoy life in certain ways.
That's why we occasionally go through them and purge some of them. Because it's like, at one point, yes, they did bring us joy. But now we want to move them on to somebody else.
Well, and I even think that you guys do that in a way that brings you joy, because you just did that. You know, you just recently moved to this house, and I have a couple of those games that you
And purged. It wasn't that we didn't like them.
Right.
It was that, like, hey, you know, let's be realistic.
I know one of them, like, I think it was the H.H. Holmes one. You guys were like, would you want this one? I was like, hell yeah, I want that one. That sounds awesome. I think H.H. Holmes is cool. Yeah. So, like, it was some of those where not only did you guys get the joy of transferring those to somebody else, but now I got the joy, and the people that bought those other ones or were gifted those other ones. Like, that's just joy, as Ren and Simpy used to say.
Yeah.
Well, and it helped you build your collection. We gave a bunch to a couple other people too, where they were able to build up their collection too.
Yeah, well, and there was also somebody that bought the rest of the games that we didn't sell towards the end of selling all our games, because they were going to start their own, board game cafe or something like that, I think?
A soda bar board game cafe in town?
Yeah.
Well, and then there was my other friend whose son is in the military, and they needed, you know, she was doing a gift bag to send to his base or whatever, and you guys had some, and you're like, whoa, would you guys just want these ones?
That seems like forever ago.
Right? So that was a cool little spot too, where it's like, you know that they're going to get used, and maybe some of those were games that you weren't sure what you wanted to do with. Maybe other people weren't going to buy them, but you know, if they're sitting there and you got a group of late teens, early 20 guys with nothing to do on a base, that they're going to get joy out of those. So that's a cool cool thing.
And going back to the whole, like, you know, how many games we've had and how, you know, purchased and blah blah blah, like, we've evolved as buyers of stuff, because when we first got into this hobby, we went to like a Gen Con, which is this big board game convention in Indianapolis, and we were just like, everything, we want it all, you know, and then
oh my God.
And then we put it, and then you throw it on a bed, like, you know.
We did. We took a, I don't know if I have that picture, I'll have to show you sometime. It was insane.
Literally, board games covering the whole bed.
No, they weren't the whole bed.
Oh,
it was just one
a
end
lot.
Of the bed.
A lot.
Because you guys were, I want pictures of you guys laying
I on was
your
sitting
bed.
Behind them, and then there was a whole stack, and it was insane.
Welcome
and
to the sexy portion of this.
It got really crazy how
but,
much we bought.
You know, and it was one of those things where, you know, after the fact, you're kind of like, maybe we shouldn't have spent so much, you know, that kind of thing. But we also had a lot of experience, like, we got to talk to board game publishers. They told us about how excited they were about their games. Then it just made you, like, excited. And you're like, I want to help you.
That's,
you know,
cool.
So you buy those games and help them out as companies that are passionate about their games and are trying to live in this business. And you're like, I love this hobby. Like, I want you to succeed. So I'm going to help you out in doing that.
So as veteran board gamers who have obviously gone to some of these different cons and some of these different things like that, what is something that, because there's obviously, they're going on all over the place and there's different sizes or whatever. So, like, you guys just said you went to Gen Con and it was in Indianapolis. What makes you pick one over another? How do you decide which ones to go to? Because I know you guys are very local people, so you try to support local stuff. So I know anything that's around here, you guys are probably going to try, and if it matches your schedule, you're going to try and find a go. But you also clearly have traveled out of state to go to some of these. Like, what grabbed your attention about that specific one at that point in your life?
That, when was the last time we went to that one? That was, we've been to that one twice? right?
Twice or three times, I think.
One time we brought Logan.
I think it's 2017 and 2019, if I can remember correctly.
Yeah, so it's been a bit. But yeah. There's like 100,000 people there. That one's a huge one.
Yeah. So it's more
is
of an...
Is that like the biggest one in the country kind of thing?
Yes.
Or?
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it went from... It started off as a very small con to where it's...
It moved from Milwaukee to Indianapolis because Milwaukee got too small to host it.
Yeah.
And so it moved to Indianapolis.
Yeah. And it's one of those that if you're a huge board gamer, I suggest, and you're not afraid of crowds, I'd say try it at least once, because it's just a very fun, like, it's almost like going to the Oscars. Again, I've never been, but you get to see all of these big, huge board game companies, and they're trying to sell you stuff. You got all these people that are really excited to sell things. It's not just board games and card games. There's also like D&D and all that kind of stuff there too. And people dress up like they do at a Comic-Con. It's weird because it's
they
like
they have a parade. They parade their costumes and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're really. I mean, it's really.
It's an experience.
It's really amazing. It gets really expensive.
Yeah.
So I think what, like, you'd have to do it like every couple of years almost,
unless you have a lot of spending money.
Yeah, because like people save hotel rooms in Indianapolis to like the year before.
Yeah.
Like you can't, like you have to stay farther away and stuff. But I mean, I'd like to go back again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So what are things that people like, I've never been to one before. Like if I'm going, well, I got a little bit of extra cash and I want to do a vacation and I'm not really sure what I want to do. And I want to go somewhere and do something solo. And this sounds like something that might be in there. What are things that somebody that is,
I'd start at a smaller con.
But what are things that people should look at for that? Because there's even more smaller cons. So now I have to make even more decisions. What are things you should look at?
I feel like if you're interested in something like that, you should start at a smaller one. So
right, but how do you decide? Because if you're going to the big ones, there's only so many big ones. So I can just flip a coin and choose between the five or six huge ones. But there's thousands of little ones that happen across the country. How do I decide which one? What makes a good con versus a, whatever. That's just a local con and it's great, but it's not worth flying to.
So what makes the decision, I would think, would be a couple of things, but the biggest one would be whether you're looking to learn about additional games and kind of stack up your collection, or if you're more of a, you want to meet people and play games. So we've been to two cons where, like Gen Con, I feel, is more of one of those vendor hall, buying games, spending a ton of money kind of thing. Like you can test play games and things like that, which is cool. But I feel like when we went, we didn't really sign up to play any games outside of it. There was a lot more of the spending the money in this giant,
huge, you're more going to shop at something like that. Where some of the smaller ones maybe are more focused on, yes, there's games available, but it's like people are meeting up to play games.
Yes.
Correct.
Ah, that's a cool thing.
And then there's one that we've talked about wanting to go to. It's in St. Louis. It's called... Do you remember what that one's called in St. Louis?
St. Louis Game Con.
Yes, it's one of those that if you're a board game nerd, you would know.
And yep, I can't think of what it's called right now. Maybe it'll come to us as
somebody
I'm talking about it. But
know.
This one, basically, they don't really focus on the vendor hall much at all. And it's all about gameplay.
So people and just then, bring their own games and set it up?
I don't know if they have a game library or not, okay. But it's the majority of it is, because we haven't been to that one, majority of it is just to network and focus on people.
That's cool.
And playing instead. And I forgot we actually went to one more, and that was in Madison. And that one was more focused on, they have a game library, so you can rent, you don't rent them, but you check them out from a game library and you can play and network with people. But then there's the hallways and stuff where you can set up your games or whatever and play in there. And then they do, that's heavy on role playing.
Mm-hmm.
That one's called Game Hole Con, which is a weird name for it.
Role playing at Game Hole Con.
Yeah, and that one is that one's in Madison, Wisconsin, and then that one is they have a vendor hall too, but that one is not heavy focused on that one. So it depends on like what you're interested in. Do you want to just learn about all the big games that are coming out because that's what Gen Con is for? Or if you want to go overseas, you could go to like Essen, which is like in some other country and they do that too. But most of that is like focused on the vendor hall, and it's freaking huge. Or there's Con of the North, which is in Plymouth, Minnesota. And that one is, it has a small vendor hall, but it's more of a networking, playing games and connecting with people you've met from years past.
Yeah.
So, which is really cool.
And there's a lot of people that are part of that con or whatever that will run certain games.
Yep.
Some of them work for the company that they actually own the game or whatever, and some of them are just people that just work for the con and they're just playing certain games, and you put in your, information, and you actually there have certain times, and you actually put in for a slot for that. You play the game. They'll teach you how to play the game. You play with other people, and you learn how to play, and you grow that community.
Nice.
And I think that one is kind of like a, maybe like a 60-40 between role-playing and board gaming.
Kind of, sort of. Yeah. Oh,
that's cool.
But so it depends on what you're looking for.
But I also will say, like, find Facebook groups. Find,
different online groups.
Yeah. And you ask those questions. Like, what is this con like? You know, am I going to be able to learn and play some games? Or is this something where if I go there, am I just looking to buy something? You know, that kind of thing.
That don't make sense.
Yeah, and then if I go to play games, like how do I do that? Because when we first went to Con of the North, we were kind of like
fish out of water. We only knew Gen Con.
Yeah, we were kind of fish out of water. We're like, how do we do this? And with Con of the North, you have to like basically get in right away. Say you want to play these games, because if you don't do it right away when you like sometimes even before you get there,
yep,
then you're kind of like floating around.
So we signed up for do you remember Skull King?
Yes.
So that was when we first learned how to play Skull King. And we ended up playing in a Skull King tournament.
I remember you guys kind
of
talking
about that. And so we had so much fun in the middle of the, like, towards real late night, midnight, playing a Skull King tournament. And
just skulking around.
Yes.
Yeah, it was, we were giggling, and it was so much fun. But, I mean, to go from Gen Con, where it was highly saturated, buying a ton of stuff, to going to Con of the North, and like their vendor hall is like a room like in a hotel.
Nice.
Like a just small room for vending, and you can learn some of the vendors' games, but that's minimal. It's more like local people selling their wares and stuff like that. And then it's focused on other games and stuff. So it depends on what you really want. Which makes me want to go to that one now.
Maybe bring our conversation back to where we kind of started. Yeah. You guys were asking me what it was like, and when I invited, what was it like with you guys? Because like we knew each other and we got to be friends while I was working on your house. But it's business relationship. But I'm never like businessy. No. So it's always like there's that little bit. But like I was still a guy you guys didn't really know at that time. And then you invited me to come in and
you could have murdered us.
Right. No, I never did that. I never did that. I need to put that out there. I was never found guilty. I did not do that.
Yeah, we're the real people right now.
But what was it like for you guys to add somebody new, and especially somebody that was an absolute novice? Like, I had no idea add or subtract from how did it change your gaming?
So I think it was exciting probably to add, not probably.
I was like, wait a minute, it either is or isn't.
It was exciting to add somebody new, and I don't think that it was a disadvantage to add somebody that wasn't very familiar. I feel like we're always looking to welcome people with open arms to play games with us, because I feel like sometimes it's like, hey, yeah, we play games, and then people are like, what kind of games? What's your favorite game? Monopoly, sorry, life, whatever. No. Okay. And then they check out and they don't pay attention to us or whatnot. And so I think the cool part is that you were like, yeah, I want to play. I'm up for anything. And then watching, inviting you and being able to teach you like the different types of games and, you know, between, like the different game mechanics and stuff like mm-hmm. that, I think was cool to watch you like learn and grow and, find out like what types of games that you really liked.
Yeah.
I didn't have a problem with it because we didn't have to start with something really easy. We just had to teach you how to play it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if it was a little bit slower, I think that was okay.
Yeah. I think also having an open mind really helps. Because a lot of people, and I will include some of my family in this, that Absolutely. Will be like, oh, you guys play a lot of games. Let's play some of those. And then as soon as I start, like, trying to teach them,
yeah.
it's just, all of a sudden, it's just, they just tune out. And I'm like,
watch it.
And again, I think I've said this on the podcast many a time.
We have.
I am not the smartest person in the room.
True.
But I won't even bat an eye at that comment.
You're really good at explaining games, though.
Sometimes.
I think better than most people. Definitely better than you give yourself credit for. Yeah. But without a doubt. No, I totally get what you're saying. Because I get people now that will be like, hey, you do that game thing. Can I come sometime? And I do get to use the fact that this is your guys' game night. Like, obviously, it's mine now. And if I want to invite somebody, I know you guys would let me and mm-hmm. be happy about it or whatever. But this is still your guys' game night. And there is a certain way that it is done. And like you said, I came in and I feel like part of the reason you invited me is you could tell that I did have an open mind and was excited to come play after talking and talking and talking and talking and Tracy and me talking and everything. But I know some of those people are like, oh, I'd love to come play games. They're going to get here and they're going to go, well, I don't understand this. And instead of the way I do, going, you know what, let's just play it and we'll figure it out. And if I don't get it, like, you know, just to keep explaining it, they're going to be like, well, I don't get this. I don't want to do this anymore. Yep. And I know that they're...
Oh my God, you sound exactly like my dad.
You yeah. sound like he sounds like your dad, but sometimes you just watch the light go off on right. some people and it's like, why do you even have us bring any games then?
Yeah.
Yep,
like, what's the sure. point?
Yeah, and
like,
again, and just like Jason said, like, even if you don't understand right away, you can play and figure it out. We've even played games where we're like, I don't know what's going on here, yeah. but let's just keep going, but and then eventually we'll figure it out.
There's very few games where we're like, pack it up. Like, I can only think of like one game where we are like, nope, we're done. And I don't even think we have it anymore.
No, we don't.
Because we were like...
I know, like, we bring it up all the time. I'm not great at just grabbing rules. It's one of the reasons why I didn't play board games and different games earlier in my life was because I'm just not good at picking up the game and reading the instructions and being able to play. And I think part of that is because people writing the rules and instructions for games assume that the people that are playing their game know some things about games, and that's just not always true. And even yeah. if, even now, like I go through and read some of the rules, you know, if it's my game that I'm bringing or whatever, reading the rules ahead of time for a game that somebody else has said we're going to play that week. Like some of them, it's like, okay, well, I know what they're saying, but I don't know what the pieces are that they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like, that can be very frustrating sometimes. So yeah. I think having you guys invite me in and being very good at explaining how to do that stuff, I don't know. I felt like you guys were having fun trying to explain games to me that you guys had been playing together. And maybe just like, it felt to me like having somebody new there mm-hmm. was more fun, made the games more fun for you guys sometimes.
It's always fun when we add an extra person to our relationship. Well, so.
But I... Oh. Feel,
way to just shit on everything. Wow.
But I also feel like
wow,
she thought I meant it another different way.
I did. I thought he was going which like totally threesome style
thing. Oh, she called it out.
So
sometimes
but
you gotta let things just
go. But I also think it was as I want to get my thought out. I also think it was cool because it kind of brought us back to think through some things too, or made us realize why we liked a certain style. Maybe I should speak for myself. Why I liked a certain style of game more than another one, or, you know, whatever, as we're mm-hmm. introducing you to the different styles like tile placement or dice rolling or a certain type of mechanic, I feel like showing you those types of things made me realize how much, or the reasons why I love that certain type of game, or made me forget that there's all these different types of styles of games, or different types of styles of games all within the same type of game.
Yeah.
Boy, that was wordy, but you know what I mean.
I think another thing that I've kind of noticed, especially recently as I'm traveling for work and having to dip out on some of those weeks, is now that we have four people in our core group versus when you guys had the three of you, if you had one of you that couldn't make it or just didn't feel like playing, which happens sometimes, then you were down to two. And it really limits the games that you can mm-hmm. play yeah. and play the right way when you're down to two people.
Yeah.
Where now if one of us dips out, there's still three people.
Yeah.
And then it's, and it changes the dynamic of it and whatever. So I feel like that maybe, that's just an observation I had where,
yeah.
whether it's me not being there, I still like, you know, in our group chat, I'm still seeing stuff from you guys, like being excited to like rip on me. Like, hey, this game was really fun. You missed out, Jason. Ha ha ha. Or, you know, Tracy, if you dip out on some of those nights and we have a boys' night, like it's just a different dynamic with
I think
some
he's
of those
telling
nights.
Me he wants me to dip out more. Or if I send a picture to Mike that Goose was waiting for him to come to play right. to show up for game night and he never did.
Yeah, I think it adds in ways that aren't maybe yeah. necessarily even game related.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there was a couple right away when I had absolutely no idea what was going on, where we would play a game that all of you guys had played and played multiple times, and you would be like, oh, this, let's do this one. This is a fun one. We've played this enough, we'll be able to explain it really well. And then I would ask a question, and everybody's face would just go, wait a second. And instantly you'd all be in the instructions, and you'd go, we've been playing this wrong all along. Yeah, I wish I could remember some of the games, but I know that happened a few times yeah. where because it didn't make sense to me, because none of the game made sense to me, that it was just, for me, it was just another question along with a whole bunch of questions I was asking. Where for you
and they
guys,
were all legit questions.
Where for you guys, you'd been playing the game and been playing it together and probably learned it together mm-hmm. yeah. and just been playing it. So that question had just never come up. So mm-hmm. once it was put right in front of you, you're going, wait a second. We never thought of it. Wait a second. yeah, you know, yeah, so there, I know that happened at least three or four times.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
But then what I like too is when we would play a game and you'd be like, ooh, I want to play it again.
Yeah.
Like Cascadia or,
yeah.
well, and some of
you
the
know,
different,
whatever.
I think that the, because my favorite are the deck building games. I yeah. love when there's multiple mm-hmm. cards and you build what you have and one gets you to be able to do this yep. and then connect to another one or whatever. Yep. But I also think that that's possibly the hardest style of game to really figure out. It took me a while to understand that, where tile placement, you can only lay things down so many ways. Dice rolling, it's just luck of the draw.
Yeah.
And the games that all interconnect, all of those things. But I started to really like, I don't remember which game it was. I think it was one of the Marvel ones, potentially.
Legendary, maybe.
Where it clicked. Where we were playing, and before that, I was always like, well, if I play this one, then which one of these? Like, then what? And then I was like, I saw somebody else do something, and they went, well, I've got this card, which connects to this card, and because it's got this symbol, then I can do this. And they did this badass move, and
it's
I just went,
him.
Wait a second. Holy shit. And I like looked at my stuff and I was like, I understand this. And
it's like that beautiful mind meme where everything's swirling yes, and all of a sudden it's like bing.
Well, and then from then on, anytime we play a deck collecting game, a card
deck collecting,
deck building, debt collecting, I'm good at that.
I heard deck collecting. Yeah.
So now anytime we're doing the deck building games, like from that point on, it was like, as soon as we pulled it out, it was like, I have an understanding at least yeah. of what the concept is. So it was kind of cool. And I know you guys would get excited when I was like, because it got to the point where you, like, I need to be taught what to do. And it was just, and it wasn't like an offensive thing or
no.
whatever, but it was like, as soon as I would have a turn, somebody would be like, okay, well, you could do this or this, or do you know what to do here? Or I would be like, I think I'm going to do either this or this, you know, and you guys would give good suggestions on it, whatever. And then it got to be where it was like, I would go to play and somebody would be like, well, if you play that card, you can do this. I go, wait, but I could, instead of that, I could do this and this and this. And everybody at the table would kind of go, yes. Yeah. Oh, and then it was, oh shit, yeah, you can.
But I also think that it didn't take you very long to catch up on the, or catch on to the different types either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that you caught on.
It was cool though, styles, watching like your guys' dynamic between, you know, Tracy, Kurt, and Mike, like within some of those games, and it added different ways. Cause, you know, if you're playing a game with the same people over and over, you, like, there's no way that you're not going to get into some certain repetition or ruts or however you want to call it. And the way like you kind of handle it, you throw another person in, and like, I don't know who does what and how they, and like, I don't care. Like, I'm just trying to play this game. Yeah. I think it kind of changed how you guys played, at least for a little while.
Yeah.
Like, and everyone has their own style of playing.
They really do. And
I try to play, I try to think, depending on the game,
you
I try to attack me every
yes, single game.
Yes. Okay. I try to think a couple steps ahead if I can. I mean, even though it doesn't, or even though it may change and things like that, but not everybody does that. You can't do that.
I can, but it's funny because you were saying that. For the most part, I kind of go with the flow, but there are some games that for some reason just click for me.
No, there, and I try to do that on every.
Yeah, like an Azul or something like that. Sometimes games just all of a sudden I'm like, I see everything. Like, I know exactly what I'm going to do. Where other games, I'm just like, eh, whatever. And then also, what I like to do, and I haven't done this in a while, is if we play a game a couple of times, I'll play it one way and then think, I want to play this opposite way. Or play it a different way. Because it might not get me the win, but it might teach me something that I don't know, that I didn't know before.
You get to do something different.
Yeah.
It's always fun.
So another thing I was going to kind of comment on, too, is that... when we first started this podcast, it was just a bunch of idiots talking about games. Like, we didn't, like...
You guys talked about some dumbass games,
yeah,
too.
But it was...
I'm just kidding.
But it was just kind of like, we're just going to go off the cuff and just kind of talk about whatever. Now, it's weird. It feels like we're teaching now. Like, we're actually teaching people how to, you know, what games are, what about them we love, what the different mechanisms and things are and stuff like that. And we'll get things wrong and we'll look it up and be like, okay, this is a deck building game, or this is a tile laying game, or this is a drafting game. What's drafting mean? Because like, that's one thing that Jason was really good at. What does drafting mean? Because when you go to a doctor's office and someone's like, well, it looks like on your knee, it looks like your ACL and your DPD and your OPPD, and you're like, what the fuck does that mean? Tell me what that means. I don't know what that means. You know,
I run into that fairly often being in construction and stuff, where I will get people that come in and are going to do a remodeling project. So they need to come talk to me about whether it was when I had my remodeling business and they would need me to come and do something at their house, or now when I'm selling those materials to people and to companies and home builders and whatever. When I get a homeowner that comes into my office to like start their process and they want to pick out materials or whatever, I always just start off every one of those by asking, like, the first question I ask anybody that comes into my office that I've never met that is a homeowner, I say, have you ever worked in construction before?
Yeah.
No. Okay. Have you ever, are you a hobbyist? Are you a DIY person? No. Okay. I'm just going to start this off by saying, you have no reason to know anything we're going to talk about today. Ask some questions. Like, there's no reason for one person to know all of the different versions of Windows that are out there and why you would pick one. It's the same with this, is like, there's no reason for somebody that's never played games to know everything there is about games, because how could you? You've never done it before.
Well, even if you have, like, it, again, like I've talked about, we've played games forever, it feels like, but we still know everything.
I feel like it depends on the person though, because I feel like sometimes you could come into a board game group and somebody might just be like standoffish.
Yeah.
It's potential for them to be like, can't believe you don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Or you figure it out.
Yeah. Different personalities.
Whatever. And that would suck and I would not want to play in that group.
I just look at it as like, if it's not like, games are supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
If it's not fun, I'm not coming.
Yeah. Quit being a dick
like,
about
it's gotta
it.
Be fun. Like, whether you're winning or losing, like, that is one of my biggest pet peeves. Is growing up, there was always people in my family and friends and stuff that if they weren't winning, they weren't having fun. Oh, well, I can't win, so this sucks. Like,
well,
I'm not
having fun.
He's
coming back, so I must be okay.
It drives me nuts when people are like that, when it's like, well, I can't win this game. Well, yeah. Great. Well, now it's not even fun for me to win because you can't win. So now you, well, and there's X amount of people playing.
Yeah.
So now one person is ruining it for everyone. Like, you can run into that a lot where I don't feel like we really deal with that.
Yeah. Well, or
I know I'm never going to be like that.
Come up with a different strategy and try, like you said, next time you play the game, come up with a different strategy and see if you can win that way.
I know there was a few times where we get doubted. You guys would be like, man, that game was awesome. I really liked it. And I just wouldn't say anything. And you guys would be like, Jason, what'd you think? I hated this. This game sucks.
There was not very many, though.
That was 2 hours of me being fucking miserable. Like, but I still had fun playing the game because I was with my friends and trying to figure out something new or like just trying to play along or whatever. And it was still a good time because like it's playing a game with my friends.
Exactly.
So it should be fun.
Yeah.
Now it's a good time.
Games are fun.
I appreciate that you guys invited me in and that I get to do this once a week. It's cool.
And it makes me think that we need to bring back our yearly con. And now we have big space we can have.
Well, and
some summer con.
And even like one of the things I was thinking about when we decided to talk about this is we've found more people to game with. So like we just talked about this treasure trove we just played the other day. A guy that worked on our basement, Hunter, said he loves board games too. We invited him. He didn't really hesitate. He came and we played games.
That was one of our first conversations with him.
Yeah.
We were standing in the home or the hardware store or whatever.
Home improvement store.
Home improvement, thank you. And we were talking about board games. Because, you know, isn't that pretty typical for people to do that?
Yeah, I think and for then, you two, yes.
Yeah. And then our realtor for this house and
mortgage lender,
they want to play games with us. So, like...
Yeah. Like, we're kind of a big deal around these parts.
That's exactly what I was
going to
say.
Not really, but...
I feel like that's where you were going,
Kurt. Yeah, yeah. But it also... There also does come this thing where... And probably that's why me and Mike talked about it so long. It's like... Is that you also don't want to invite somebody in that might not have fun. And that that was kind of our conversation. Like, will Jason want to come in? Will he like having this? You know, will after playing, will be like, yeah. And then we've invited him, and then he's rejected us. And then, like, nobody likes rejection.
Right.
You know? So, you just never know.
Yeah, well, it makes you nervous. That's why when you sat down today, I was like... Did Hunter talk about how much he didn't have any fun?
No, it was a good time.
Yeah, because it's a social thing. You just want to make sure that, you know, you're having a good time and that everyone else is having a good time too. Like, that's one of my most important things with board gaming. I want everybody to have fun. If somebody's not having fun, what the fuck are we doing? Yeah, exactly.
It should be fun.
Yeah.
Hobbies are fun.
Yep.
Exactly. No, I appreciate it. I think it's fun.
Cool. And we're glad that you've come in and been able to... game with us and do this too, because just talking about this stuff is fun, you know?
Yeah, I like being a part of Game Night. I like being a part of the MFG cast. Like, yeah, it's cool. It's a positive addition to my life.
Awesome.
Whoop, whoop.
Hopefully, the ones that are listening to this, hopefully you have a great gaming group and you love gaming as well. I know there are people that are listening to this that we're friends with and we're glad to have you in our lives. Like John from Legends of Tabletop, we've actually... he does a podcast. We've played games with him online.
I want to meet you.
Yeah, we've actually flown to Arizona where he lives, and we played games with him.
I want to meet you in the winter.
We've invited him here.
Yes, yeah, so he might
come in the summer.
So, yeah. So it's just through this podcast and through board gaming in particular, we've like done a lot of.
I would take this chance if somebody is still listening. If anyone out there can still hear me,
hello.
I would say invite somebody into your group. Invite them in next time. Like, next time you're thinking about it, invite them in. And the people that are already in your group, thank them for being a part of your life.
Thanks, Jason.
Make it positive.
Aww.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you, guys. No, that is cool. We need more of that.
In this day and age, we need a lot of that.
Any day and age. People should tell each other.
We love you.
Appreciate that.
We love you and appreciate you for listening to this podcast.
If you're still here, that's true.
They are.
Chat to.
Yeah. So.
All the awesome. Diddly-oos.
Yes. So again, thank you for listening. We'll be back with another episode very soon. And until then, I'm Kurt.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Tracy.
And this was the MFG Cast. Yes! Perfect.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.